Conversation between Manu and Bhardama, text 17.
Lokamsha lokam vatam pushumsha
Hitva shitaste charanata patram Parasparam tad gunavada sidhu Viju sanirjatita deha dharma
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. However, persons who have given up stereotyped worldly affairs and the beastly followers of these affairs and who have taken shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet by drinking the intoxicating nectar of your qualities and activities, in discussions with one another, are distinct from the primary necessities of the material body. Please repeat after me. However, persons who have given up
stereotyped worldly affairs
and the beastly followers of these affairs and who have taken shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet by drinking the intoxicating nectar
of your qualities and activities
in discussions with one another
can be freed from the primary necessities of the material body.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. After describing the necessities of married life, Kardama Muni asserts that marriage and other social affairs are stereotyped regulations for persons who are addicted to material sense enjoyment. The principles of animal life, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, are actually necessities of the body. But those who engage in transcendental Krishna consciousness, giving up all the stereotyped activities of this material world, are freed from social conventions. Conditioned souls are under the spell of material energy or eternal time, past, present, and future. But as soon as one engages in Krishna consciousness, he transcends the limits of past and present and becomes situated in the eternal activities of the soul. One has to act in terms of the Vedic injunctions in order to enjoy material life. But those who have taken to the devotional service of the Lord are not afraid of the regulations of the material world. Such devotees do not care for the conventions of material activities. They boldly take to the shelter, which is like an umbrella against the sun of repeated birth and death. Constant transmigration of the soul from one body to another is the cause of suffering in the material existence. The conditional life in material existence is called samsara. One may perform good work and take his birth in a very nice material condition, but the process under which birth and death takes place is like terrible fire. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his prayer to his spiritual master, has described this. Samsara, or the repetition of birth and death, is compared to a forest fire. A forest fire takes place automatically without anyone's endeavor. By the friction of the dried wood, and no fire department or sympathetic person can extinguish it. The raging forest fire can be extinguished only when there is a constant downpour of water from a cloud. The cloud is compared to the mercy of the spiritual master. By the grace of the spiritual master, the cloud of mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is brought in, And then only, when the rain of Krishna consciousness falls, can the fire of material existence be extinguished. This is also explained here. In order to find freedom from the stereotyped conditional life of material existence, one has to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, not in the manner in which the impersonalists indulge, but in devotional service, chanting and hearing of the activities of the Lord. Only then can one be freed from the actions and reactions of material existence. It is recommended here that one should give up the conditional life of this material world and the association of so-called civilized human beings who are simply following in a polished way the same stereotype principles of eating, sleeping, defending and mating. Chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord is described here as tad gunavad sidhu. Only by drinking the nectar of chanting and hearing the pastimes of the Lord can one forget the intoxication of material existence. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadatikam Bande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padukamulam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganam Raghunatham Nitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabudhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Nitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapto Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpataru Bharscha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanipo Vaishnavipo. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Lokamscha Lokan Vatam Pushumscha Hitva Shitaste Charanata Patram Parashparam Tad Gunabada Sidhu Pijusha Nirja Pitadeha Dharma. However, persons who have given up stereotyped worldly affairs and the beastly followers of these affairs and who have taken shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet by drinking the intoxicating nectar of your qualities and activities, in discussions with one another, can be freed from the primary necessities of the material body. It's a beautiful verse with a beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada. Actually, this one purport explains the entire principles of Krishna consciousness. In the material nature, everyone is affected by the body's demands and body's needs. That is called Dehatma Buddhi. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki. When a living entity comes to the material nature. A living entity, although he is a spiritual being, begins to identify himself with this material body. That is the basic nature of the conditioned soul. Conditioned means the soul becomes affected by the influence of matter. Actually, soul qualitatively is diametrically opposed to matter. That matter is inert, but the soul is conscious. Matter is temporary, transient, but soul is unchanging, constant. And matter doesn't have any means to experience joy. Matter by nature is miserable, but the soul is full of joy. And the soul comes from the spiritual world. Soul is not produced out of matter. Soul is not a product of matter. Soul is a completely different substance. There is another world, just as this is the world of matter, but beyond this world of matter, there is another world, that is the spiritual world. Just as in this world, everything is matter, in that world, everything is spirit. And the souls are actually from that spiritual world. Therefore, we describe the soul as the spirit soul. Spiritual, the soul is spiritual. Soul is not matter or material. But when the soul comes into this material nature, the soul becomes affected by matter. The soul assumes two material bodies and becomes affected by those bodies. The soul becomes affected by matter, and the matter, there are two types of matter. One is a subtle matter and the other is a gross matter. The subtle matter are mind, intelligence and false ego. And the soul develops a body out of these three subtle substances, which is known as the subtle body. Like every living entity in this material nature has a subtle body. And the subtle body is placed in a gross body made of earth, water, fire, air and ether. So it is the soul that is the source of consciousness. Soul is conscious. The consciousness that we have comes from the soul. The consciousness doesn't come from the body. It is the soul that permeates the body with consciousness. It is due to the presence of the soul that the body becomes conscious. And then the consciousness is experienced or projected through the senses. The eyes, ears, nose, touch and tongue. Five senses. But beyond these five senses, there is another internal sense, that is mind. So in this way, the consciousness actually flows through the mind, then through the senses, or you can say through the nervous system. And the recipient of the objects of this nature are the senses. With our eyes we see, with our ears we hear, with our nose we smell, with our tongue we taste, and with our skin we touch. Now all these experiences of the senses are due to the presence of the soul. We notice when the soul leaves the body, when the body dies, when the soul leaves the body, then although the eyes are there, can the eyes see? Although the ears are there, the ears cannot hear. Although the tongue is there in the dead body, tongue cannot taste. And although the skin is there, the skin cannot touch or experience the touch sensation. Why? Because the source of consciousness disappeared. There is no more consciousness in the body. Therefore, there is no registration of the sense perceptions. Now, what is the source of consciousness? The source of consciousness is the soul. And it is the soul that we identify as I. When we say I, who do we actually indicate to? The body or the soul? To the soul. But due to our ignorance, due to our mistaken concept, we identify ourselves with this body. And this body that is made of matter develops qualities or tendencies which is diametrically opposed to the natural tendencies of the soul. The natural tendency of the soul is spiritual. But being encaged and affected by this body, the soul, although he is spiritual, begins to develop the qualities of matter. Like the body is made of matter. And the body needs the fuel to function. And that fuel to that body is food. Just as in a machine, we need the fuel to run, a car needs gas. Why? Because the gas actually provides the energy that is required to run the car. Similarly, this body needs the energy to run or function. And where does that energy come from? The energy comes from the food. Food is the fuel to the body. And the body has a carburetor that ignites, generates the fire to burn the food. And that is our digestive system. The digestive system actually burns the food. And that is how we see in a living body there is temperature. The living body is hot, has some heat. Where does the heat come from? The heat comes from the fire that is there in the stomach. The Vedic understanding, the science called Ayurveda, or the science of life, describes that this fire, which is known as Vaishyanar, is situated at the base of our stomach. And this fire actually burns the food. And it's quite interesting to note the indigestion when a person doesn't have the ability to digest. The lack of digestive power, according to this Ayurvedic terms, is called Agni Manda. Agni Manda, Agni means fire and Manda means lack. So it means lack of fire. When you don't have enough fire, we can't really burn the food, or we cannot digest the food. And there are ingredients that can actually increase the fire. Like for example, ginger is an ingredient that increases fire. So, if you have indigestion, just eat some ginger. Or take some ginger, drink some ginger juice. So this is how the body actually generates the energy. The food is burnt, the fuel is burnt by the fire, and as a result of that, the energy is generated. So food is one of the needs of the body, eating. So when one is in the material condition, one needs to eat. As long as we have the body, we have to eat. And then the spirit soul becomes tired carrying the body. The body functions, but actually what is the body? The body is functioning. The spirit soul carries the body. Can you imagine a tiny little spirit soul has to carry the big hulk of this body? The size of the spirit soul, what's the size of the spirit soul? What's the size of the spirit soul? Dina Chaitanya?
Thousandth of the tip of the hair.
Yeah, 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. You divide the tip of your hair to 1/10 into 10,000 parts. That one fragment, 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair is the size of the soul. So you can well imagine how tiny this soul is. Now this poor tiny spirit soul has to carry this huge lump of body. And the soul becomes tired. Soul carries the body for some time, and then after a while, after 10 hours or 12 hours or 18 hours, the soul says, I can't carry it anymore. The soul dumps the body. And that is sleep. When you can't carry the load of the body anymore, when the soul says, well, I had enough of it. I can't carry this body anymore. I am tired. I am dead tired. Then the soul leaves the body, or leaves the burden of the body, dumps the body. So at that time we lose our consciousness, lose our body consciousness. That also has two phases. Although we may have given up the burden of the body, the gross body, still the soul may carry the subtle body with him. He has given up the burden of the gross body, but he carries the burden of the subtle body. So that is the state of dream. And when he gives up the burden of the subtle body also, that is called dreamless sleep. So we have three, the soul has, in that way, our existence in the material nature has three aspects or three phases. One is the wakeful state, one is the dream state, and the other is dreamless sleep state. Is it difficult to understand? No. And we can consider what causes us to be awake. When the consciousness is flowing through this gross body, that's the wakeful state. When we give up the consciousness of the gross body but continue to remain conscious of a subtle body, then it is a dream state. And when we give up the awareness or consciousness of the subtle body also, that is called the dreamless sleep or deep sleep. And at that state, what happens at that deep sleep, unconsciously the soul comes close to the super soul. The soul comes close to the super soul and thus becomes recharged or revitalized. And then again he gets up in the morning and begins to carry the burden of his gross body and subtle body. Then again he falls asleep. Again he gives up the burden of the gross body and subtle body and falls asleep. So this is how the soul carries on. So here we can see how eating for this is actually a necessity of the body. Sleeping also is a necessity of the body. The soul doesn't need to sleep. The soul doesn't need to sleep. Actually, what happens to Sushupti when one is in deep sleep, he actually comes very close to the super soul. He comes very close to the spiritual nature. But unfortunately, he wakes up in this part, in material side of the existence. But if somehow the soul can wake up on the other side of Sushupti, then he'll find himself in the spiritual world. So you can well imagine, graphically we can consider, say this side is the material nature, and then the borderline is the deep sleep. And on the other side of the deep sleep is spiritual world. And what is happening, the soul is involved in the material nature, then he falls asleep, goes close to the spiritual nature, to Sushupti, to deep sleep, revitalizes himself by detaching himself from the material involvement, but he comes back again to become involved in the material activities. But what the spiritual process does, the spiritual process takes him away, systematically takes him away from the material activities, brings him to the borderline, and takes him out, takes him beyond the borderline. And beyond that borderline is the spiritual world. So there, from the state of unconsciousness or deep sleep state, he actually comes to the spiritual world. In order to go to the spiritual world, we have to penetrate through the borderline. We have to go beyond the border, isn't it? That side of the border is Germany, this side of the border is Switzerland, right? Now if you want to go from Switzerland to Germany, what do you have to do? Don't you have to cross the border? Can you go to Germany without crossing the border? Never. So similarly, this borderline is the deep sleep region, and one must try the soul when he goes beyond that border. He comes to the reality or the nature where he actually belongs to. The spirit soul belongs to the spiritual world. So when he goes back to the spiritual world, then he wakes up in another consciousness. That is called Krishna consciousness. The spiritual world, in the spiritual world, everyone is conscious of Krishna. In the material nature, everyone is conscious of Maya or matter. In the material nature, everyone is conscious of matter. Everyone is seeing matter and acting through matter. So in this way, we can see that sleeping is actually a need or a necessity of this body. Then the body is under all kinds of attack. See, this soul is in this body. The body is not the soul. The body is not the living being. It is the soul that is the living being. And the soul has accumulated some matter and started to identify himself with that matter. What is the name of that lump of matter? Who will say? How do we identify that lump of matter that the soul has acquired and started to identify himself with that? What's that called?
Body.
So this is the body that we have we have acquired and we are identifying this body to be ourself. Now, a constant struggle is going on between matter, the world of matter, and the soul. The matter said, you took our things, huh? Give it back to me. Soul says, no, this is mine. And there is a tug of war going on, a constant struggle between the soul and this material nature. Isn't it going on? The soul is constantly struggling to hold on to this lump of matter, the body. Right? And the matter of the material world, or the world of matter, is saying that that is, you have stolen this from us. It's not yours. This is not yours. This matter is not yours. It's ours. It's mine. Give it back. Soul says, no, this is mine. And then they're struggling, they're fighting. And in that fight, finally, see, soul is trying to hold the matter, the body. Matter says, no, give it back to us. Right? Soul says, no, I won't give it. Matter says, you have to give it. It's ours. And then they're fighting. The soul and matter, soul and the world of matter are fighting with each other. So in that fight, finally, who will win? Or finally, who will be defeated? Soul will be defeated. So when the soul is defeated and matter wins, then what do we call it? Death. So what is death? Death is souls losing the battle against matter. So soul says, okay, this is your property, you take it. And soul says, soul has to leave the body. Oftentimes the soul doesn't want to leave the body. Soul says, I won't leave. Then matter has her agents, Jamadutas, they come and drag the soul out of the body. So you lost the battle, still you don't want to give it up. Get out of here. So this constant struggle to hold this body together is called defending. As long as we have the body, we are constantly defending ourselves against the onslaught of matter. Right? And then the soul has the soul has an innate desire, an inherent desire to be united with Krishna. Soul is a part of Krishna. Therefore, the soul wants to be united with Krishna. But when the soul forgets Krishna, then the soul, and still the soul has the desire or the tendency to become united with Krishna. Now you forgot Krishna. Right? Therefore, the soul wants to become united with someone else. He doesn't know who to become united with. Now, driven by his senses, he develops his attraction to the opposite sex. The soul is a spiritual being, the soul actually wants to become united with Krishna. And that is a spiritual desire. But in the material nature, that tendency has been pervertedly reflected into the desire to become united with another body. And that is called mating. The desire to mate. And through that, the nature makes the arrangement of procreation. Two bodies, a male body and a female body, unite through sex desire, and the result is procreation. Another offspring is born. Another soul gets a body. Now the question may arise, how does the soul come into the body? The soul actually comes through the semen of the father and enters into the womb of the mother, and there, through the ova of the mother, entering into the ovum of the mother, the soul develops another body. In the womb of the mother, that when the soul enters into the ovum, then through that ovum, another body begins to develop. And that is called procreation. So in this way, eating, sleeping, mating and defending are the natural demands of the body. But the soul doesn't really need that. Soul doesn't need that. Body needs it. Soul doesn't need it. Therefore, those who want to make spiritual advancement, they should give up these tendencies to remain subjected to these demands of the body. So eating, sleeping, mating and defending therefore are considered to be the gross materialistic needs. But beyond that is the spirit soul, and the spirit soul is not subject to these needs. So after explaining these points, Srila Prabhupada is saying constant transmigration of the soul from one body to another is the cause of suffering in material existence. The conditional life in material existence is called samsara. One may perform good work and take birth in a very nice material condition, but the process under which birth takes place is like a terrible fire. So in this material nature, no matter in whichever condition we are placed in, we are subjected to a very miserable condition. And the goal of life should be to transcend those material conditions, material suffering, to go beyond this material suffering. And that is possible. As it has been pointed out, tad gunavad sidhu. When one drinks the nectar of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the reason why we chant, and we ask everyone to chant, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
So does anybody have any question? Yes.
I have two things. You mentioned the connection between soul and mind and consciousness. And I would like to know, is there in Vedic science some concept of subconsciousness, like in the world?
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, in course of our discussion, we discussed about the soul and the mind and consciousness. So, in the Vedic sciences, there is a description of subconsciousness. Yeah. So, yes, there is a description. In simple words, it can be said that all the experiences that you go through, through your sense perceptions, they are actually recorded in your memory. Actually, all the experiences are recorded in the memory. Right? And the consciousness is like a ray of light. Right? So the consciousness is projected onto some experiences and you become aware of that. Right? Now, if the subconscious, and so if consciousness is recording or registering the memories as it has been focused, when the light is focused, then you can say subconscious is whatever has been written or in the, or whatever is stored in the memory. That is the subconscious, according to Vedic understanding. Alright? Hare Krishna. Yes? Death. So you are asking what's the difference between deep sleep and death? Okay, no, is that your question? Something like, or maybe you can explain a little more, like what is actually your question? Okay, so the question is, what's the difference between deep sleep and death? Yeah, the difference between deep sleep and death is that in deep sleep, one becomes unconscious of the body, both gross body and subtle body, right? But it wakes up in the same body, right? You can say that in sleep is when the soul leaves the body. You can consider that soul leaves the body. But then the soul again wakes up in the same body, right? Comes back and wakes up in the same body. But death is. But in death, one doesn't wake up in the same body. He leaves the body and doesn't wake up again in the same body. But he wakes up in another body. Right? So that is the difference between deep sleep and death. Yes, it can. When the body becomes uninhabitable for the soul, then the soul leaves the body. The soul cannot live anymore in that body. Doesn't necessarily have to be old. Somebody meets with an accident, right? And then, you know, all the organs of the body gets damaged. The soul cannot repair that and continue to stay there. So the soul has to leave the body. Yes, Dina?
It seems that in deep sleep we are unconscious, and in death we also have some consciousness when we go to yoga.
Very good point. Yes. I did not actually enter into that realm. Yeah. Although it was in the back of my mind. Yeah. In deep sleep, one becomes completely unconscious. But in death, one does not remain. Doesn't have to necessarily be totally unconscious. Because what happens is, the subtle body, his consciousness remains, although he withdraws from the gross body, but his subtle body remains. And in most cases, the subtle body remains in the subtle body. And it is the subtle body that carries the soul to the next body. But for only a pure devotee becomes free from the subtle body also. Only when a pure devotee, through the practice of devotional service, his subtle body becomes transformed into a spiritual body. Therefore, at that after death, he after leaving this gross body, he goes back to the spiritual world. Yes.
You explained that when you come into deep sleep phase, you come close to the spiritual nature, to the super soul. So, something, isn't it like when we have, when like very practically speaking, when we have our morning program, when we go mantra, we chant, we also with this activity we become closer to the spiritual nature.
Right.
So, is this dependent of a deep sleep? Or
very good. Very good point. Very good. Yeah. You see, although apparently it is not the same action, but it is similar. Yes. Like, to be in deep sleep and to be in some spiritual program are similar. Right? Because in spiritual program, although you are conscious, although you are awake, you are actually being spiritually revitalized. You are coming close to Krishna. So, the difference is that through spiritual program you are coming close to Krishna consciously, and through deep sleep you are coming close to Krishna unconsciously. Right? That's why devotees don't need so much to sleep, so much sleep. Right? When they're properly situated in their spiritual life. I have seen myself, Prabhupada hardly slept for 2 hours. A day. 2 to 3 hours. At night, if Prabhupada would go to sleep at around 9 o'clock, he would get up at 12 o'clock and start his work translating. Yes.
So it doesn't like if I sleep in my job or something.
Well, that is, as I say, like one has to be spiritually situated. If we are still materially situated, then we may go through the spiritual program, but it's not really spiritual as such. We are still in the body consciousness. That's the problem. But doesn't matter. Through this process, we will be able to transcend the body again. Body consciousness and come to the spiritual realm. The process is there. The process is bona fide. So if the process is practiced, the result will be there. Yes, I'll touch a bit present.
Some of the devotees are telling me that if I go to the morning program I won't get enough sleep and it's impractical, I won't be able to stay awake during the day. I might have to take a nap. And anyway, it takes all my energy, and what I really should do is renew my energy, get energy by going dancing at the disco. This is really how you get energy. So should I go to the disco?
Okay. First of all, you see, when one is in body consciousness, he does need the sleep. And the process actually, the process that Prabhupada prescribed is that one should go to bed early. And another important consideration here is that according to Ayurveda, you should sleep before midnight has the effect of double the sleep after midnight. Like, if you sleep for 1 hour before midnight, before 12 o'clock night, is equal to 2 hours sleep after midnight. Say, if you go to the best way to rest your body, but not sleep too much, is go to bed early. Go to bed at 8 o'clock and wake up at 12 o'clock. How many hours of sleep you got? Very good. So 8 hours of sleep. You go to bed at 12 o'clock or you go to bed at 2 o'clock, right? Get up at 10 o'clock. Still you will feel that it was not as refreshing as the 4 hours of sleep that you got before midnight. So if you, we are not saying, or Prabhupada never said, that you should not take care of the body, body's needs. Yes, as long as you're in the body consciousness, let us take care of the body. Prabhupada never said that don't eat, but Prabhupada said eat Krishna prasad. Prabhupada never said don't sleep, Prabhupada said sleep. Early to bed, early to rise. Get up early in the morning. But have enough sleep, 6 hours sleep. 6 hours sleep, if you go to bed at 9 o'clock and get up at 5 o'clock, how many hours of sleep get up at 3 o'clock. Go to bed at 9 o'clock and get up at 3 o'clock. How many hours of sleep you got?
9 hours.
Even better to go to bed at 8 o'clock and wake up at 2 o'clock. Right? How many hours of sleep you got?
10 hours.
And you can try it. You can try it. You see it yourself. Now, and Prabhupada also said, you need to revitalize your consciousness. But going to a transcendental discotheque, that is a temple. In the morning, you wake up and join the Mangalarati, Guru Puja, Darshanarati, and you chant and dance. This is spiritual activity. On the other hand, if you go to a discotheque at night, what will you have? First of all, you're staying up through the night, which will hurt your body. And then the atmosphere of discotheque is going to increase your sex desire, which is going to be detrimental to your spiritual life. Therefore, these kind of environments should be avoided. And there is no way we can justify that going to a discotheque, we are going to revitalize our consciousness. Nor can we, similarly in the same note we can say that by breaking the regulative principles we are going to make spiritual advancement. These kind of ideas are simply influence of Maya. Maya will say, okay, break the regulative principles and you'll make spiritual advancement. And the result will be sahajiyasam. The sahajiyas have the same principles. Sahajiyas say, yeah, break the principles, and that is spiritual advancement. In order to make spiritual advancement, you have to have an affair with somebody else's wife. Now, that's why we call them sahajiyas. They're not following the right path. They're deviating from the right path. The right path is, follow the four regulative principles, render devotional service, and automatically you make spiritual advancement. It is difficult, but that is spiritual life. Spiritual life is difficult in the beginning and glorious at the end. The spiritual life is like poison in the beginning and nectar at the end. Whereas material life is like nectar in the beginning and poison at the end. So that now we have to decide what we want at the end. Do we want nectar or do we want poison? If we want poison, yes, we can take to material life. Okay, someone is addicted to alcohol, right? Now taking alcohol is good? Okay. Now in order to give up alcohol, he is suffering from cirrhosis of liver. If he takes alcohol, he'll die. Right? The doctor says,
You give up alcohol. Does he have to repress? Now, is it going to be good for him? Yes, repression of the bad thing is needed to go to get into the right thing. If you want to take the right course, then you have to give up the wrong course. In the material nature, living entities are absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Mainly into intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and meat eating. Now the question is whether we want to give it up or not. In order to give it up, you have to repress. It's not going to happen automatically, you have to make an effort. But first you have to decide whether it's good for you or not. Is eating meat good? No. So if it is not good, if it is bad, then should you give it up? Yes. Is taking intoxication good or bad? Bad. Then should you give it up? Yes. Is illicit sex bad or good? Bad. So should you give it up if you want to become good? Is gambling good or bad? Bad. So in order to be good, do you have to give it up? And in order to give it up, do you have to make, you're addicted to them. I'm not saying you, but somebody is addicted to them. Now, will you have to make an endeavor? Now that, is that endeavor some kind of repression? So that repression is necessary or not?
It is.
It is necessary.
I just had this question, or many devotees argue is that what Krishna said, what can repression accomplish?
What can repression accomplish? We have to see where Krishna said that. Where did Krishna say that? In what context? Yes, Shannon?
Under chapter, verse 9, 33.
In what context?
I think in the context to the duties one has.
In?
That one should not give up the duties.
Read the verse.
Even a man's knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish?
Okay. The thing is, if one is influenced by the mode, everyone in the material nature is influenced by different modes. And it has been prescribed, it has been advised, that everyone should act according to the influence of the modes, that the nature that he has developed. And accordingly, Varnashram system has been prescribed by Krishna. If one is in the mode of goodness, he should act like a Brahmana. If one is in the mode of passion, he should act like a Kshatriya. Those who are in a mixed mode of passion and ignorance, they should act like a Vaishya. And those who are in the mode of ignorance, they should act like a Shudra. So Krishna is not saying that one should completely deny the influence of the mode and go to the Himalayas, enter into a cave and try to meditate. That is what Krishna is forbidding. Krishna is not saying if you are intoxicated, if you are addicted to heroin, you should continue to take heroin. Right? Krishna is not saying if you are addicted to illicit sex, you should continue with illicit sex. No, Krishna is saying that give up those sinful activities in order to become situated on spiritual platforms. Right? And another thing, another consideration is, in the spiritual life there is no repression. There is no repression. We have the positive application. You want to eat meat, right? The food that is saturated with life, right?
Therefore Krishna says, take Krishna Prasad. Food that is completely steeped with life energy, spiritual energy. Right? You are addicted to intoxication. Right? Chant the holy name of the Lord. And you'll get the taste of real intoxication. And this intoxication is going higher and higher and higher and never coming down. Right? Stay high forever. You're addicted to sex life. Develop your attachment, loving relationship with Krishna. Because sex life is a perverted reflection of that. All these activities are the perverted reflection of the spiritual activities. You're addicted to gambling. Gamble with your life. Offer it to Krishna. Stake your life by offering it to Krishna. And see what you gain. Right? So that's why Krishna is giving the positive alternative. And what are the positive alternatives? Positive alternatives are the alternatives of which these four things are the perverted reflection of. One develops the taste of eating meat because it is a perverted reflection of taking prasad. Intoxication, because he forgot how to derive, how to lose his consciousness completely in chanting the holy name of the Lord. That's why he is trying to lose his consciousness by taking these drugs. He has the desire to become united with Krishna through his love for Krishna. But since he's forgotten Krishna, he is trying to have sex with the opposite sex. He's trying to become united through sex. And he forgot how to stake his life by offering it to Krishna. For the highest gain. What is gambling? You stake something, you may lose it. But if you win, then the gain will be far more superior to what the stake was. So you offer your life. That's a stake one takes. Yeah. You know, in order to become a devotee, you have to stake your life. Offer it to Krishna. And then see what the gain is. Is the gain multiplied by many fold?